The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening. He was greatly perplexed because some were saying John has been raised from the dead. Others were saying Elijah has appeared. Still others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen. But Herod said, John I beheaded. Who then is this about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the first reading, the Church continues to have us focus on the rebuilding of the temple after the exile and what it points to in terms of the rebuilding of Jesus, the true temple, on the day of the resurrection after, on Good Friday, that temple was destroyed. What it means for us, the Church, called to be a temple, and what it means for each of us, called to be a tabernacle, a temple of the Holy Spirit. Today, we've got a scene that's kind of in the middle of what we had been hearing with the historical book of Ezra. Now we've got the prophet Haggai, who was one of the prophets mentioned at the time in the book of Ezra, who had been sent by God to help spur the Israelites on to build the temple. At the beginning of the week on Monday, we heard that King Cyrus had commanded that the temple be rebuilt. Today, it's the time of King Darius, who was Cyrus's son. So what the Jews had done as soon as they had come back is they built a tiny little place of worship. That wasn't really a temple fit for all the people of Israel to come. What had happened in the meantime? Let me mind my own business. Let me get my house fit first. And it wasn't just that they had built a small little edifice for shelter for them. To talk about paneled houses was incredibly rich. Wood was precious. You had to go places to find it. And the fact that they were paneling their houses with wood said that their houses were now quite beyond middle class. And yet, tiny little temporary edifice for God. So the prophet Haggai was sent with these words of the Lord. The people says the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Let's focus on our own houses first. We come before God. Then hear the word of the Lord. Is it time for you to dwell in your own paneled houses while the house of the Lord lies in ruins? Consider your ways. You've sown much but brought in little. Eaten but never eaten enough. Drunk but haven't really been made happy. Clothe yourself, but really haven't been warmed. The more you seek your own interests, the less you're going to find the true fulfillment for which I've made your heart to seek, which you're never going to find in any of these areas. Whoever's earned wages thinking that what you really need is moolah, earn them with a bag with holes in it. What a tremendous image. We've always got bags with holes in it. And the money will only always fall out. The only bags without holes are the bags that the poor have when we give them money. That money ain't going to be wasted eternally. Thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, consider your ways. Go up to the hill country, bring timber and build the house. And then a line that's important to understand. At first it seems that God is an egocentrist. That I may take pleasure in it and receive my glory, says the Lord. God's great pleasure is to sanctify us. And God's great glory, as St. Irenaeus would say at the end of the 100s, is the human being fully alive with the vision of God, radiating that life with God, which is a little foretaste here on earth of heaven. That's God's great glory. It's to glorify us. It's to give us His own glory. To please us and give us His own joy. That's the purpose of the house of the Lord. so that we, in coming and worshiping God as the most important thing of all, learn to become filled with God. This whole attitude of the Israelites after the exile, that God sent the prophet Haggai to shake up and get them to consider their way, is totally contrary to what moved King David 500-600 years before, when the Lord was dwelling in a tent. As we see in 2 Samuel, he says, "How be it for me to live in a palace while the Lord of hosts live in a tent?" And he wanted so much to build the beautiful temple of the Lord. And at first, he talked to the prophet Nathan. Nathan said, "That is a good and holy wish. Go for it, Your Majesty." But then God came to the prophet Nathan and said, "Go to David and tell him this. It's not you who are going to build a house for me. It's I who am going to build a house for you." We know what that house is. That house is first King David's descendant, who built the temple in his own flesh, Jesus. But beyond it, what God's plan was to make us a temple where Christ himself would dwell, that we become one temple with the Lord. That's what it means to contemplate, to become one temple with the Lord. That's what's supposed to happen in our worship. We become one with God. That's been God's plan. But unless there was a zeal to build the Lord's house, do something great for God, God's not going to do it here. That's why God was impatient for the house to be built, because he wanted to fill us with himself. When we take a look at the gospel, we see how that building occurs. King Herod was a little bit shaken after having murdered John the Baptist to fulfill a promise he made in a drunken orgy. When you're not one with the Lord, you're capable of believing anything. He desired to see Jesus, and we see that that desire was fulfilled on Good Friday when he made sport of Jesus as Jesus was brought around. Nobody depicts that better than Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion, about how fallen Herod was. Pope Francis this morning in the Vatican said it's not enough just to want to sort of see Jesus out of curiosity, to be able to name drop thereafter, "I met Jesus of Nazareth, the one who did all those miracles." We've got to get to know Jesus in a much deeper way. And Pope Francis said that this is the means by which Jesus will be able to build up ourselves in the church as a temple in union with him. First is we got to get to become one with Jesus in our mind. He called it three different languages: the language of the mind, the language of the heart, and the language of action. Language of the mind is we've got to get to know Jesus of the catechism, of sacred scripture, what others have said about him. We've got to become familiar with him in that way. Second, but that's not enough. He says we've got to know Jesus in the language of the heart, and the language of the heart is prayer, where Jesus speaks to us in the heart and starts to transform us from the core, from the center, outward. And then we've got to get to know him in the language of action, loving together with him in the midst of the world, walking with him, becoming the Good Samaritan, crossing the road, and caring for everybody else. It's in these three ways that we're built up as a temple, and that the whole church is built up to be united with the Lord. So Pope Francis asks some questions. The Catechism has been out for 20 years. How many Catholics have actually read the Catechism? Says Jesus wants to speak to us in the heart. How many of us prioritize the time for the Lord over other things? He even mentions, we've got plenty of time for television. We have plenty of time for the newspaper. How much time do we actually make to say, how can I be reading the newspaper when the Lord's speaking to me in sacred scripture? How can I be watching the next edition of CSI when the Lord wants me to investigate who I really am in prayer? And how can I have so many times for washing my own clothes when there are naked people out there with no clothes. These are the ways that we're built up into the temple to speak that language which is a dialogue between God and us in each of these three areas, in our mind, our heart, and in the actions of our life. God wants to build us up in that way and build up the entire church in that way. But we've got to consider our ways, as God said through the prophet Haggai, and begin to say, not my ways, but your ways, Lord, I want to follow. Saints Cosmas and Damian, whom we celebrate today, were saints who did just this. Their minds hungered for the Lord. Their hearts were filled with prayer. And in their actions, they loved others just as unselfishly as the divine physician loved us all. They were called the moneyless ones in Greek, precisely because they never wanted to be paid for their services, because they were doing it all out of love for God and for these people who were sick. There's an incredible lesson there. It's not wrong to be paid back for a service. Even Jesus said about preachers of the gospel that the laborers are worth their wage. But there was something particularly beautiful about their generosity, forsaking even a just remuneration in order to be able to spread the love of the Lord. Many of those for whom they cared were not Christians, but they became Christians. Because they say, who were these twin brothers, these two doctors, who would care for us with no repayment? What could possibly inspire them to live like that? And that would open up the entire conversation about the one who had given all without asking for any repayment other than for us to receive that gift and to continue to live by it. Today we come to the same source of nourishment they received to become faithful in these little things and faithful at the point of martyrdom. Jesus in the Eucharist, who gives himself to us freely each morning and says, do this in my memory. Through the intercession of Saints Cosmas and Damian, may we consider our ways and then learn how to do this. Amen.